Welcome to Not Work, Myth, and Storytelling. This is the show where ancestral wisdom meets the modern imagination. I'm your host and lead storyteller, Marisa Gowdy. I'm a myth worker, a story healer, and a writing coach. I'm the author of The Sovereignty Knot, A Woman's Way to Freedom, Power, Love, and Magic, and the founder of the Writer's Knot and Author's Knot communities. On Knot Work, we explore the mythology and folklore of Ireland and beyond. Whether you're drawn to Celtic culture and the power of the landscape, or whether you just like a good story and expansive conversation, you're in the right place. Fáilte. If you love what you hear and want to support the show, I'd be so grateful if you'd become a paid subscriber to my Myth is Medicine newsletter over on Substack. Look for the link at the top of the show notes or visit mythismedicine.substack.com. Before we explore this week's story, I have a question for you. What about your stories? Whether it's a book project that wants to be birthed, deep, authentic writing to support your business, or a personal creative project you can't quite name yet, I'm here to support you through the entire writing process, from the initial ideation stage to the crafting of narrative and beyond. If you're ready to write memoir or a chronicle of the spiritual journey or a book that explores healing, nature, and the power of imagination, as well as the toughest truths of today, call on me. I walk beside you as you uncover the story that only you can tell. I'm a confidant who supports you through the challenges, and I'm your champion who will offer the nudges you need to get the words on the page. And yes, we hold space for the mythical and the magical all along the way. Visit my website, marisagowdy.com, to learn more about my writing coaching services and set up a free 30-minute consultation. Season 6, Episode 21, The World Below. Song and Conversation with Katie Hellman. I am absolutely thrilled to welcome Katie onto the show as part of our Myth Workers and Culture Makers series. As you'll hear, Katie makes her myths into song. We're going to start this week's episode with a gorgeous new song from her new album. And it's going to be a few minutes for you to really tune in, to find a connection with the world below, to the ancestors behind you, to some depth within you. But first, a few words about Katie. She's a songwriter, a storyteller, an astrologer, and a community organizer based in Burlington, Vermont. She weaves worlds together through her art, one-on-one work, and community engagement. Drawing on mythology, ancestry, and folklore, Katie infuses her work with mythic wisdom, believing these stories offer vital guidance on what it means to be human. Her latest project is the debut album from her band, Emerald Groundwater, titled The World Below. The album delves into the depths of inner experience, echoing with ancestral sounds and drawing on the archetypal power of fairy tales and myth. She blends these ancient sounds with more contemporary inspiration of psych rock, prog rock, and freak folk. As you'll hear at the end of this episode, Katie is about to go on tour. And in fact, she is going to be here in the Hudson Valley on Friday, June 27th at the Unicorn Bar in Kingston. I am going to be there. I would love to see some Knot Work listeners there. I have a feeling that this show is going to be incredible. She talks more about her other dates at the end of the show, but know that you can find Katie and all of her brilliant work at emeraldgroundwatermusic.com. And in the episode, she also talks not only about her new album, which you can access on all the major platforms, but also the lyric and storybook PDF that she puts together. It's like the best of liner notes. Do you remember what it was like to open up a new CD and pull out that book and really sit with it? And of course, with albums as well, but I am of the compact disc generation. Katie references that storybook PDF, and I definitely recommend diving in and experiencing it too. So let's begin with a song, the title track, The World Below, and then join us for a gorgeous conversation about art, creativity, the ancestors, travels to Ireland, and the kind of magic that's made when you come home and bring these stories to life and to song. Thank you. Katie. Thank you for bringing us into the womb cave. There is no better place to begin, no other way to meet the other world by going into the underworld. Oh, thank you.
It's so exciting to share. It's such a gift. So yeah, thanks for listening with me.
Oh, congratulations on the new album and this whole new direction of your work. I am so excited to speak with you about all the ways that you make this mythic work so very real and palpable. You know, it's been so great to get to know you through the Bard Mythologies online school, and then to recognize we only live a few hours apart and that I'm going to get to see you this coming week and your concert. But like, it, all the stars are aligning. And though this particular conversation will not include your deep knowledge of astrology, we're just going to acknowledge that the stars have aligned. Yes. And that's how we get to be here today. Mm-hmm. So, oh, thank you so much for bringing us in with the world below.
Yay. Yeah, it's so exciting to listen to it together. It still feels so fresh. Mm-hmm. It has such a vitality right now for me. I've, in these last few months, sat down to write songs and continually have just found like, okay, it's not time yet. This is still mm-hmm. what I need to be just holding and honoring. It's feeling like such an incredible gift to get to share and be received with this work in a way that feels really all the way through my body, aligned and connected. So yeah, thank you so much for having me here and can't wait to talk about it together.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have such a beautiful embodiment of what is truly cultural work and ancestral work of, you know, taking these stories from Ireland and from perhaps other, I will talk more about your other influences, but mm-hmm. taking them and really rooting them into Turtle Island and into, you know, what it is to be a culture keeper, culture bearer here on this big old continent of ours. Mm-hmm. How did this start for you? Maybe we'll begin with that impossible but important question yeah. of, you know, what's the world below for you?
Yeah, I came to this new project, Emerald Groundwater, because through songwriting and performing that I've been doing over the last decade, I think people, the feedback I've gotten from audience members, fellow musicians, have been different touchstones of musicians that people have referenced. Oh, your voice sounds like this person or that person. I think through the performing, music making, and sharing that I've been doing over the last decade, I have gotten feedback from friends, audience members, fellow musicians about the musicians and other bands that they feel my music is connected to. And often they've pointed me in the direction of some of these British psych rock, Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries. And I've obviously found those comments to be very supportive and encouraging. And I think what they were pointing me to was this shared well of sound that I'm singing from with people of my ancestral and musical lineage. Mm-hmm. So where before it was more of an unconscious part of my creative process, it's with this project, Emerald Groundwater, it's become a very conscious and intentional part of the music making. And I feel like in discovering that and like honing it and honoring it, there's like this force, this power that I feel behind me that was just waiting to be called into action and brought to life. So that's how I came to this collection of songs and this new container to hold the music.
Oh, I love that idea of sort of like a crystallization of intention. Mm-hmm. And do you know the phrase imbus ferocity? So that's what it would be, the druidic practice of, and it translates loosely as inspiration that illuminates.
Wow.
And they're what, you know, they have a few records of the practice that the druids would do. It did involve something with meat. We don't know because it's written from the voices of those who thought it was a terribly barbaric concept. We know that St. Patrick outlawed it, but we know that it was part of their process of consciously creating and gathering in inspiration and making something really powerful. So as you said, that ancestral and musical lineage is coming through you and speaking through you. You're tapping into that, which you probably didn't even know consciously, but it's just there in your core.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like in my physiology. It's like in my vocal cords, like the makeup of my body, which is just, I feel like singing in more intentional ways with direct inspiration from these ancestral Celtic sounds. It's like, it's the easiest. It's so clear and flowing for my voice. Like there's no blockages. It's just completely, it's the most comfortable. I feel like the most comfortable in my voice in singing in this way. Yeah. It's another homecoming.
So your first trip to Ireland, was it in 2022?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm curious, when you were there, like what really grabbed you most? And it's an impossible question again, but was it story? Was it landscape? Was there a particular place or a particular being who sort of, you know, emerged and offered themselves to as a partner?
Yeah, I feel like, I went to Ireland in 2022 with my mom and stepdad and my partner, and we were only there for 5 days. And that was also at the, you know, I feel really during the pandemic is when I started digging into the mythology and the ancestry. But even in 2022, it was still just, I was just starting to dig a bit deeper. I think that, honestly, the piece that was most striking to me was the lack of forest. Mm-hmm. I live in Vermont, and the forest is something I think that I can take for granted here, because as you're flying in via plane to Burlington, Vermont, it's just forest, 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 and up into Canada. And the state of Vermont had been almost entirely deforested. And what is here is what has grown in just the last century. But in Ireland, there was something, I was feeling sort of a discomfort and came to pin down what it was, which was like, where's the forest? And that really led me, it just a journey of grief in learning more about the colonization of Ireland and all of the oppressive tools that were used to disempower the people there, and the deforestation of, there were obviously economic reasons, but also political reasons to disempower the people who were really like forest people, who the forest was, the trees and the forest were the source of power and magic and wisdom, and were their family. And then I feel like upon returning and deepening in this exploration, the character that I have come, there's a character who's emerged who feels like an ancestor and is also a part of me, who is this ancient wisdom keeper, feminine wisdom keeper, and she's showed up in various scenarios, like working with a medium and doing, you know, in dream work, in my inner world work I do with depth psychology, and she feels very anchored to that place and is a real guide for me in this work. I call her the queen. She's a very powerful being. So though we didn't first acquaint consciously, at least while I was in Ireland, I think that she became woven or maybe awoken through my trip there and just through all of these studies, learning more. So I do hope to go back and spend more time and get to deepen into the culture. And I think I'd need a lot more time than 5 days to get to really sink in and experience. But I feel like grief feels like a major part of this journey and is also a major part of the creative process for me, is just the grief in mixture.
I knew you'd have a good answer for that question, but I am wow. Thank you for the depth of all of that. And just that, you know, grief is a doorway, right? Yeah. Like rather than, it was Stephanie Mackay, who was actually on the podcast a few weeks ago, and she and I were in conversation, and I wish I could find the exact quote from her, but she really was distinguishing grief as being a generative force opposed to despair, which is what really slams those doors shut. So like knowing that there's generativity in the grief and it's being reframed and revisited, then some of, you know, we know there's some old Irish American stories around the achon, achon sort of old Irish despair sort of tradition
there's been a conscious sort of transmutation of that I think is happening in real time for us. And I love that you got a fairy hitchhiker. You are not alone in this. Like you
definitely.
Are many a woman I know who has met, and maybe I'm sure there's men out there too. I just happen to have lots of conversations with women about the Banrion that you brought home with you. Who was the queen who came with you? I mean, I literally went into a cave and I brought somebody home with me. So because I think, you know, it feels like it's a great deal of temerity to be able to say, hey, I was chosen and somebody wanted to come back across the ocean with me to co-create. Mm-hmm. But it happens to so many of us that it starts to feel as if like, no, that's a phenomenon we're meant to pay attention to and that you are invited to participate in, even if it's been 5 days, you know, it time is sort of relative when you can go to a place with an open heart.
Yeah.
And so, as you describe so eloquently, that sense of being so aware of the presence of an absence of the forest, of the trees themselves. I mean, the Druids, their name comes from oak. Like they were the beings of the oak groves. Yeah. Like that's who they were, was in relationship with the trees. And so it feels almost, I don't know, gorgeously inevitable that you would be able to be in relationship with the unseen.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel so grateful. I feel like the grief, the ability to even connect and have relationship with my ancestors who I have actively been calling in, the grief I am processing, I'm digesting, I am moving that grief through my body. And I feel in doing that, I'm healing ancestral, familial, deep pain and wounding, and I'm feeling this sense of support and care that is like behind me. It feels like sort of behind my heart that is holding me, like they're really here. And I think something that has come up, we've just started playing shows with this project, and I've been performing, like I said, for the last decade in various bands and as a band leader and as a vocalist. And there's something that's happening with this project and with these songs. And I took like a year and a half off of performing before getting back into it. So I am really noticing a new element at play, which is like, I've opened this channel and they are like howling through. Mm. And I've had some really wonderful conversations with friends over the last week or so around how to open, how to close that channel, because it's a very intense energy that feels like it's coming through. It's commanding, it's serious and fierce. Yeah. And inevitably there's a little astrology. I have my Libra rising is like, like, hi, I'm Katie, you know? So like the show ends and I'm like, whoa. And then there's this whole other part of me that's going to be like friendly and chatty with people. But like this energetic force is still like in my body and trying to like negotiate with these, because also just the voice and the singing and how important the singing and the voice is to this lineage and the ways in which people were, their songs were taken away, their voices were shut down, and they, you know, in certain cases, just not allowed to sing, not allowed to speak their language. And it's like, okay, I feel like I'm creating this opportunity, and they're like, whoa, all right, let's go. So I'm in that point of trying to like figure out how to manage that energy in my body.
Wow. Talk about grief as a doorway. And that opens up to another question I have, which I'm going to ask before I ask you to pick another song for us to listen to. Mm-hmm. And this may be something that is still in process for you. I know as you're just beginning to tour with this music and you've just described so beautifully your experience of what it's like to start to be the channel for these songs. I'm curious what you started to notice in terms of the folks who are receiving them, because I'm really curious about what it's like for people to be standing in a room and all of a sudden hear the ancestors tug at their sleeves, and knowing that the Irish diaspora being enormous, so many of us, at least on March 17th, claim Irish ancestry or feel that connection.
Yeah.
But knowing too, after having spent time with your music, it feels like there is that sense of the universal is found in the specific. Mm-hmm. And there, yes, it is the ancestors of this one beautiful tiny island. Mm-hmm. And there are the capital A ancestors coming through. Mm-hmm. So far, what's been your experience of people receiving these songs?
Yeah, even as you were just initially asking that question, like full body chills, It's been very profound. I think that whenever I'm sharing my art, there will be people who are more passively engaged and people who are more actively engaged. And I think this art, this music is an invitation to go deep. And I know that for some people, that's a really painful place and they're not going to go there. Mm-hmm. So it's an invitation. It's a consensual opportunity to dig in. And I think for people who are wanting to dig in, well, even for the people who are not going deep, I think just that feeling of memory, like there's something about this that I know has been shared. And then, yeah, for the people who are wanting to go deep, I feel like people come up and they're just like, whoa, like really enchanted and mesmerized and sort of seen. I think when a friend of mine a long time ago shared with me that when you see art or hear art that speaks to you, it's a part of you're seeing a part of yourself. You're resonant with something that is also you. Yeah. And yeah, I think that opportunity to feel the emotions. My sun sign is Cancer. I have a lot of stuff in Cancer. And yeah, that is the memory holder, the deep watery knowing that we can feel through our emotional body. So yeah, I think just sort of coming to terms with the fact that, yeah, there's a whole spectrum of people's capacity and ability to engage on a deeper level, and having just so much like care and respect for people who have their boundaries up a little bit and are not really feeling able to access or go in that way. And then just, it's such an incredible opportunity to connect with folks who are open and who receive it. And this like shared resonance that happens during a performance is like a very psychedelic experience. Yeah. It's my favorite. So with the album, there's a little booklet, and people have been very excited and interested to read the stories and sort of have that connective piece to engage a little bit more deeply, to learn about the mythology. But yeah, a lot of people who have shared that they feel inspired to learn more about their ancestry. And to the universal piece, even like you said, though this is, there are stories and references and images that connect specifically to the Irish ancestry and some other European ancestry. What I'm hoping to engage with are some of these archetypal themes that are, everyone knows these archetypes. It's just how we meet them. We meet them through different forms and outfits, energies, colors, symbols that are more culturally specific. But my hope is that, yeah, that archetypal energy that we can, through the music, we can be meeting these characters, and it can be an access point for a lot of different people, no matter what their ancestral background is.
Oh, I love that. So with that in mind, which archetypal ancestor would you like to introduce us to next?
Great. Yeah, I am feeling drawn to share Kaliak in terms of a character. I feel like she is feeling, even in these bright summer days, very present. So I would love to play for you the Kaliak.
by their name. Kaliak came to me all. Claimed the earth, the frozen land. Kaliak sang to me all. Withered life at her Kaliak came to me all. When the snow began to fade, Kaliak sang to me all. Howling in a fearsome Kaliak came to me
In the spring she found the well. Kaliak sang to me She drank the water, cast the spell. Kaliak came to me She slept all through the summer days. Kaliak sang to me until the light began to fade. Kaliak came to me
Katie, longtime Knotwork listeners will know that we often say every season on Knotwork is Kaliak season. And here we are just still basking in the summer solstice light and saying, of course she needed to be here. How dare we think of calling in any other song but hers?
Ooh.
And you know, daring to wake her up here in the midst of the summer because she's not sleeping right now with what's going on in our world. At this moment, she is more than awake.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for bringing all of her jagged edges and all of her healing power to us here.
I feel just like such a force moving through me with that song. It's this rage, it's a permission to be ugly. And I just feel so grateful for these images and characters that can help me be my whole me.
Yeah.
Which includes this intensity and fierceness and primal power, though it's not celebrated in the culture. So in terms of, like these archetypes, I feel just having these characters, especially feminine characters, especially old, rugged, feminine characters, just feel really, really powerful in my body. And like you said, at this time, it's a little too noisy probably to be sleeping right now.
And I don't think I'm going to dare to say that I don't think she wants to sleep right now. I think that she's been so up for so long now. As I said, she just keeps cropping up in episode after episode. 2 weeks ago, we had a gorgeous story, the Kalyak from the Outer Hebrides. Like, who tells Kalyak stories in June? We do. Wow. Because yeah. She's here and she's speaking through us. And that's exactly what we get to heed right now, because we know the power of the seasonality of these stories. Yeah. And there's certain tales that only would have been told at the winter solstice or at yeah. the time of harvest. And we also know that we're in a time of the great scramble and the great shake. And that mm-hmm. says, with reverence and awareness, I know that I'm taking her out of time. And she asked me to step out of time mm-hmm. because we need to hear this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. This song definitely was written in the belly of winter mm-hmm. when I really, this is what gave story to these skeletal branches scratching at the windows and the like fierceness and rawness of the cold. It gives a new life to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, we need these images and these characters so desperately right now. The spectrum of the feminine power that we can access, that we can revitalize in this time mm-hmm. to be with what's here and create from this material we have to work with.
You know, what occurs to me too is that, you know, there's much talk about the power of how the diaspora itself informs the mother country. Dee Mulrooney was on the show early this year in season 6, and she talked a lot about that after she told her story. She, of course, is a Dublin-based storyteller, performance artist who now lives in Berlin. So she talks really beautifully about how the diaspora works. But I think it is also that sense of imagining you in a Vermont winter, really channeling in the coldest of the cold, which is like of a mythic quality to folks in Ireland, right? Like, this is like ancient winters kinds of concepts, because I have spent many a January up in Burlington.
Yeah.
And I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And yet, for, you know, our friends 3,000 miles away on the other side of the ocean who are blessed by the Gulf Stream, that is not that yeah. Kalyak is, she's cold, but she's not that cold. So ooh, there's that yeah. sense of like that even our diasporic experience
yeah.
touches into something that may not be as accessible in the modern country now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that doesn't take away from anything anywhere other than just say it enriches the whole pot to say,
yeah.
oh, Katie sang from the coldest of the cold Kalyaks.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, I feel like she, the feeling that I have here of that archetypal energy is, I feel like it only just rounds out the character to experience her in these different places and through these different natural environments. That there's a powerful force behind the winter feels really helpful for digesting it and being with it here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we begin to land our conversation, and as we know, we are talking when it is in the high 90s in your yeah. part of the world and mine.
Ooh.
And what is that? Yeah. In Celsius, it's around 36 degrees, 37 degrees. I love that we're calling in the winter chill, and it's not necessarily ooh. Connected to fossil fuels in our air
yeah.
conditioners.
Yeah.
But let's kind of land there with this gorgeous mix of taking the coldest night into the longest day.
Yeah.
And knowing that that feels like a really potent and powerful piece of your work. What might there be to be revealed with that before we say farewell?
Yeah. Well, we said we weren't going to talk that much about astrology, but here we are again. So in my birthday is the solstice, the summer solstice. I was born at like 2 p.m, but I was born in the sign of Cancer. And it's in my chart because I have Libra rising, everything's inverted. So where Cancer rules the fourth house, the home, the inner world, the quiet, sacred, personal space. In my chart, it's out there in the outer world, the work that I'm doing. So there is this feeling of like inversion or bringing in the opposite to help round out and give us the medicine we need for the moment that feels like a part of the work that I'm here to do. So yeah.
Oh gosh. I love that you had to bring them.
We got it.
Astrology
yeah.
in. Because two episodes, I did an episode called Gemini Mythologies, because I'm a June 17th baby who had to talk Gemini season. So astrology is just starting to inform our not work world more.
I love that.
Let's just embrace it.
Hopefully we can talk Gemini too at some point.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But for right now, what's most important to talk about is that you are going to be in Kingston, New York on June 27th. And I know that's not the only spot on your upcoming tour, but I do have a beautiful group of local listeners. Let's plug you being at the Unicorn Bar in just a few days. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about your tour and where people might be able to find you if they're in this eastern part of the USA.
Amazing. Yeah. So this upcoming Friday, June 27th, we'll be at the Unicorn Bar in Kingston, and it's at 7:30. There's two awesome local bands who will be playing with us there. We're also going to be playing in Sunderland, Massachusetts the next day, which is the 28th, at a festival called Sunder Show Fest. We'll be playing in Montreal in July on the 25th, and then hitting Troy, Portland, Middletown Springs, Vermont, Tunbridge, Vermont, and Northfield, Vermont in August of this month. So yeah, that'll be our summertime.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I am so excited to be there in the audience. And but I'm already going to say, hey, everyone, don't miss this. You've already heard a bit of how powerful this music is. 7 days highlighted the way you go from firelit fables to rock explosions. And like, I think we all need more of that. Yes, please.
Yay.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for sharing your insight, your voice, just your all the beauty of your being with us. I'm so excited to see you. I'm so glad to know you. And congratulations on the new album.
Thank you so much. It's been such a gift to connect around these things. Hopefully more conversations to come.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Not Work Myth and Storytelling. Please subscribe and review the show on your favorite podcast platform, and do share this episode with other lovers of mythology and story. By the way, everyone is a lover of mythology and story, even if they've forgotten. Creating this show is a labor of love, and your support will help me continue to craft and share stories throughout this season and beyond. Please consider becoming a paid subscriber to my newsletter, Myth is Medicine, over on Substack, where you'll find new writing and conversations each week. You can find out more about my writing, my book, our online writing communities, as well as how to work with me as a writing coach at marisagowdy.com. Gratefully, I live, write, work, and record this podcast on the ancestral lands of the Munsee Lenape tribe, whose name means original people. Music on this show is performed by Beth Sweeney and Billy Hardy.